House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Blickery. Blickery. Brown. Brown. Burkhart. Burkhart. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel. Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman. Harshman. Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
Mater.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Moniz. Nicholas. Nicholas. Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Piperinen.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson. Stubson. Teeters.
Here.
Throne. Throne. Walters.
Here.
Watt.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Winters.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Blickery.
Excused.
Blickery excused. Brown.
Excused.
Brown excused. Burkhart.
Excused.
Burkhart excused. Esquivel.
Excused.
Esquivel excused. Harshman.
Excused.
Harshman excused. Moniz.
Excused.
Moniz excused. Nicholas.
Excused.
Nicholas excused. Stubson. Stubson excused. Throne.
Excused.
Throne excused. 51 present, 9 excused.
Brothers and sisters, we've got a special kind of order of things today. I've asked Representative Blake not to yell play ball until after the national anthem. So we will do the prayer, then the Pledge of Allegiance, and then have a special event for the national anthem. So, the prayer of the day is offered today by Reverend Rick Veit, representing St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Cheyenne.
I'd like to offer a prayer for guidance. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with thy continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may serve the people of Wyoming faithfully, more and more, and always glorify your holy name. Amen.
We could all have a seat while these guys get set up. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A special privilege.
Certainly.
Members of the House, joining us today is the Musical Hands Group from Niobrara County School District in Lusk, Wyoming, and they'll be performing the national anthem in the American Sign Language. The members of the Musical Hands range in age from kindergarten all the way up to adults, and the majority of these performers attend Lusk Elementary and Lusk Middle School. So please help me welcoming this talented group to the floor.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here today and performing our national anthem in such a unique way. We wish you continued success as you travel around Wyoming and share American Sign Language with audiences across our state. Thank you all very much. We're at that order of business of Journal Committee Report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 24th, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Spiler and Winters.
The doctor of the day today is Dr. Larry Kirvin, M.D. from Buffalo, Wyoming. Representative Walters.
Privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Certainly.
It's my pleasure to announce the nurse of today from down here from Natrona County. It's Connie Jacobson. If you could please welcome her. And now that you've cheerfully welcomed her, I'd like to point out that she is also our county coroner.
Maybe they need a nurse of the day over in the Senate. Representative Hunt. Are you around, Representative Hunt? Representative Hunt. Representative Hunt, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's kind of a big day for Niobrara County. There's all sorts of folks down here, one of whom, leading his kid down as often as he often has for years, former Representative Ross Dirks.
Hey! Representative Dirks.
Requesting privilege of the floor.
Please share your eloquent words.
You know, Mr. Speaker, one doesn't have to be gone very long before the faces are more recognizable over in the Grizzly Chamber. Members of the House, as you face another long, tough budget session, the 18-hour days, the inevitable disappointment at the end of general file, the third reading amendments that go on and on and on and on, and of course the obligatory conflicts with the Grizzly Chamber, know that someday you too will be granted this privilege to breathe 45 seconds of this air, this ever rarefied air, that is the Wyoming House of Representatives. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the House, Representative Dirks. Chairman Gingrey.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Certainly.
Up here in the gallery is the mayor of Jackson, Mark Barron, and he is also the spouse of Representative Petroff. But more importantly, what I wanted to say is he has been our mayor for 12 years, and this year he announced he's not going to run again. And he has done an amazing job for the town of Jackson. He took us on a vision. His vision was one valley, one vision, and he really followed through with that and has really built Jackson into a great municipality, and we owe him a lot in our community, and we thank him very much for all his hard work he has put in these last 12 years. Thank you.
Mayor Barron, welcome to the House. Representative McKim and Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We would like to, at this time, to introduce to you, brothers and sisters, the middle school group that has traveled here from the Star Valley to be with us. They're accompanied by their teacher, Mr. Scott Milne, their principal, Mr. Kim Kazair, and bus driver Blair Hillstead. Would you please welcome our middle school to the House of Representatives?
Welcome to the House. Any other privileges of the floor? We are at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 116.
Senate File 116 is presented by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 116 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10 from the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 10 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34 from the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to involuntary hospitalization.
Senate File 34 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 14.
Senate File 14 from the Appropriations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to court security.
Senate File 14 will be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 100.
Senate File 100 from Senator Nicholas.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Business Ready Community Program.
Senate File 100 will be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 87.
Senate File 87 from Representative Meyer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public records.
Senate File 87 will be referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 93.
Senate File 93 from Senator Hines.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to fuel tax.
Senate File 93 will be referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31 from the Judiciary Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 31 will be referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94 from Senator Driscoll.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 94 will be referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 107.
Senate File 107 from Senator Bevout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance.
Senate File 107 will be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25 from the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
Senate File 25 will be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24 from the Corporations Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to special elections.
Senate File 24 will be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 86.
Senate File 86 from Senator Doc Stater.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to roads and highways.
Senate File 86 will be referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53 from Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to trade practices.
Senate File 53 will be referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 89.
Senate File 89 from Senator Landon.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Medicaid.
Senate File 89 will be referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 84, Child Support Payment, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 82, 2014 Large Project Funding, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blickery, Burkhart, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 13, Engrossed, Hathaway Scholarship Program, Dash Enrollment Expansion, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Teeter, signed by Representative Teeter, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 55, Engrossed, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program, Dash Award Increase, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Teeter, signed by Representative Teeter's Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 92, the WCCC Director Ex Officio Memberships-2, respectfully reports saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Freeman, Hunt, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Teeter, signed by Representative Teeter's chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 7, engrossed, brucellosis surveillance, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 6, engrossed, groundwater contested cases, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 42, engrossed, electrical licensing installation of light bulbs, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 56, State Engineer Fees, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Winters, and Dan Zwanitzer, one no vote, Representative Semlich, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 66, engrossed, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Greer, Hunt, McKim, Semlich, Winters, Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 81, Employer Access to Social Media Accounts, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Larson, Throne, and Wilson, one no vote, Representative Kasperic, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
With that order of business of re-referral of bills, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing, to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, it is so ordered. With that order of business of bills on second reading, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 116. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 9 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 15.
Senate File 15 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to community colleges.
Senate File 15 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the University of Wyoming Endowment Challenge Program.
Senate File 26 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the University of Wyoming Endowment Challenge Program.
Senate File 27 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
Senate File 29 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50.
Senate File 50 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to the State Miners Hospital Board and Account.
Senate File 50 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to reports to the legislature.
Senate File 54 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 70.
Senate File 70 from the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to administration of government.
Senate File 70 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103 from the Management Council, an act relating to administration of government.
There is an amendment. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 103 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, this is just a modest change in the bill to allow the task force to continue some long-range planning for the Capitol complex. I am not the representative of the Capitol. The Capitol is actually in the district of the Minority Whip. I am the proud representative of the lovely, lovely slab of asphalt across the street, which used to be a school. And as we move forward with our vision for the Capitol and the Capitol complex, it's important that we consider the surrounding area. During the construction period, and this is just one piece of the planning, I'm just giving this as an example. During the construction period, that now parking lot most likely will be a lay-down area. But once we're done with the construction, we need to consider the context of the Capitol and the surrounding grounds. And that's very important, I think, to the investment that this project will be in the Capitol, as well as to the community at large in our city. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we look at the long-term planning for our building, I asked a question when I attended the meetings in B63, whatever, and I asked about the idea of expanding these buildings to the north and south, or is it east and west? Anyway, on the ends. And I asked our good representative here, and he was going to get back to me on that. But I think as we're looking at long-range planning and maybe even immediate planning of a $279 million project, that we explore all the options. So I guess that's my question. As we're looking, have we looked at that? And that's my question. Thank you.
Representative Zwanitzer, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am on the amendment. I talked to the good sponsor of this amendment. I do not believe it hurts the bill. Basically, what we operate now, just for information for the body, is what we call the Vision 2020 plan that came about in 2003, and that's what the architects have been operating under for Level 1 and Level 2 studies. Since the 2020 plan, we actually have added 7 new buildings in the Capitol complex, and we may or may not be adding 2 more in the very near future. And so the 2020 plan is getting kind of out of date, and so I don't think it hurts the bill to have this task force, which is made up of 6 legislators and the 5 deputies, report to the State Building Commission and start developing a new plan. In some of the Level 2 studies, our architects have gone ahead on their own initiative and said, here's what we think your long-range plan for another 20 years is on the Capitol complex and where we think buildings will be placed, and they've designed the Herschler and the Capitol with that in mind. So this does add a little bit of requirement, but I know there is some consternation in Cheyenne with the parking lot across the street, which will probably use as the construction laydown point for most of this renovation. So if you don't like the asphalt parking lot across the street, it probably will look less impressive over the next 2 years as most of the equipment for the building will be stationed on that lot. So I generally support the idea and would be happy to answer any other questions. Perhaps if somebody else has a question, I can find the answer to the other representative's question. We did talk about what they call underpinning and expanding out to the sides. It is in your packet number 42. We talked about extending the building to the east and west, as was done in the 1890 and 1917 restorations. It would have significant challenges in adding to stabilizing and underpinning the foundations. More specifically, it goes through a list there. If you look in your booklet on page 47, how we would try to create the rotundas or what would happen. But actually, the tunnels run underground outside of the building here, at least on the east side. We'd have to redo those as well. And so there is some extraordinarily high costs. I have talked to the architects. They're supposed to get me back a number for that official cost of what it would cost to extend the building east and west. But I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Hey, Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a thought what the good representative is talking about here. He says that we'll use the parking lot as a parking place for equipment. Does that mean we'll be closing the road in between if we do so?
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To respond to that last question, I have never heard that to be the case. Certainly there will be some impact to traffic, but it's actually a Wyoming State Road, Central Avenue, that goes next to the Capitol building. So although our construction equipment will be there, I have not heard any mention of any belief that we would shut down Central Avenue during this construction phase.
Representative, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think you sort of get the idea of why I requested the amendment. There are a lot of discussion points, a lot of considerations, and we need to keep that long-range view in mind as we move forward, so I would ask for your aye vote.
We're voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 103. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one to Senate File 103 has been adopted. Senate File 103 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. With that order of business of consideration of bills on general file, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, item number 13 on general file is Senate File 63. Please move that to the bottom of the list. And, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? The House has resolved itself into committee of the whole. Representative Larson.
Thank you.
Fine. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I refer to item 13. Yours are not numbered. It's Senate File 63. Please take that to the bottom of the list. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration will be Senate File number 12. The reading clerk will now read the bill.
Senate File 12 from the Education Accountability Committee, an act relating to the required state education program, clarifying authority of the state through the State Board of Education and school districts in prescribing the state education program and the uniform standards implementing the state education program and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, who has referred Senate File 12 engrossed, reports back to the House. There were 8 aye votes and 1 no vote, signed by Representative Teeter's chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 12 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Senate File 12 was brought in response to concerns that the Select Committee on Accountability was receiving dealing with student data. And if you'll turn to page 2 and begin reading on line 21, it says that nor shall the State Board have the authority to commit the state to federal oversight and regulation. And then we have more language on page 3, where the development and the implementation of the uniform standards is the responsibility of the State Board in consultation with the school districts and shall not require approval by or oversight of the federal government. There has been a lot of confusion about this bill, and I know many of us have been receiving correspondence from our constituents about what this bill does, and what I'd like to do is answer those questions if I could. If you look on page 2 of the bill, you will see in the existing language that we talk about the Common Core of Knowledge and the Common Core of Skills, and those are statutory terms that have been with us for over a decade now. They do not refer to the Common Core. And so I think a lot of the consternation on the part of many is that they don't understand, quite frankly, the difference between the existing statutory language and the amendment on page 2 and page 3. The Standing Committee Amendment deletes part of the line on page 3, beginning on line 17 behind the comma, removing the language that and shall not require the approval or oversight of the federal government. I made a motion as the chairman in the committee to delete all the language on page 3, and that was narrowly defeated by the committee, and I brought that amendment with me today as a committee of the whole amendment that we'll discuss later. But for purposes of this discussion, I would ask for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Whoa, for a minute. I just as I read this in then, so I just want to be clear on line 17, and shall not require the approval or oversight of the federal government. That's a standing committee action, and was to delete that.
That's, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Teeters.
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I guess the whole point of this bill was to reassure our constituents that the federal government was not involved in the standards process, not involved in local education. And so if you take that little bit out, I mean, you might as well take the whole thing out, as you suggest, in committee of the whole, but I would prefer that we just keep that in there. That's the whole idea, is to say to the state board, this is in the state board's, is that right? This is under the statutes that affect the state board, to say that it tell the state board specifically that they shall not require approval or oversight of the federal government. That's the whole idea. I think we wanted to send that message. So I think by taking that part out weakens the bill.
Representative Teeters.
Do you agree?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as the chairman of the committee, I'm supposed to advocate for the position of the committee, but I do agree that it would be my personal preference that if we leave this portion of the statute in, that it would be my personal preference that we leave that language there. And the members of the standing committee are welcome to join this conversation.
Any other discussion on the standing committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Horstman.
Mr. Chairman, just, and I remember as, and this was a select committee bill, and I remember this was like the first bill of the interim, because we wanted to make sure we addressed this issue. And I've gotten a lot of emails, folks asking, well, why is the title of the bill State Education Program? Really, I don't know why we never really set the titles. I mean, LSO does that, but it's specifically to say this bill was brought, it was the first bill draft request, if I remember, to make sure we give pushback and guidance to our state board in terms of its relationship with the federal government on setting standards. That's the whole idea of the bill, as I recall and as I read it.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, but also in favor of the upcoming Committee of the Whole Amendment. When we look at the language that's on page 3, lines 15 through 18, it really is redundant, and I'm in favor of tidy statutes. From line 14 to line 17, you already see on page 2 in existing language on lines 1 through 2, and then the final clause is what this bill does on page 3, lines 17 and 18, you'll see that's the new language that's on page 2, lines 21 through 23. And so I don't see this language as necessary at all. So, again, I'm in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, which did half the job, but the Committee of the Whole Amendment will do the full job.
So,
Representative,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just say that I would vote against the Standing Committee Amendment and then vote for the Committee of the Whole Amendment, I think. But if the Committee of the Whole does not survive, I think this pushback on the federal government, we ought to make that clear. So, against the Standing Committee Amendment.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I serve a difficult role in this as I chair the Select Committee on Accountability. And so I would urge you also, I guess, to vote no on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very interesting discussion. I also think that some of the constituents that I've been hearing from are not only concerned about the federal government's role in guiding standards and things, but also some other entities that are out there. So I guess I'd like some thought if that was part of the consideration of the Select Committee as they dealt with this issue and brought this legislation. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we do have Senate File 79 coming up that deals in broader ways with security of data. And I think that addresses the concerns that that may be out there as far as how protected our data is. We're going to study that and continue to evaluate it. This deals specifically with federal intrusion and not allowing an appointed board to subjugate our authority to the federal government without our consent.
Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we look through this and the comments about the having a little bit of state, a lot of state input in this, I worry a little bit about the local districts not being able to do as much as I think local districts. We seem to be taking things away from our local districts and giving it to the state school board, and right now we're worried about the federal government being involved. So I think we're headed in the right direction, but I also really think we need to be looking up for our local school districts and getting their uniform standard, content performance standards. So I'm just concerned that we really keep our local school boards in here.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the proposed amendment, I think the clear reading of the proposed amendment is such that it would confuse the public out there. I think the current writing of that particular provision, starting with page or line 14, clear through 18, is clear. It does what I think we need to do to answer the question that's being asked of us by a number of our constituents. So I'd urge your defeat of the proposed amendment.
Chairman Teeters. Okay. We're back on the motion of the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question now? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed?
No.
The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has failed. We're back on the bill. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, and what I would also ask for your favorable consideration. I think part of the issue that many folks are having with this bill is the misunderstanding about the development of our standards. And what we did on page 3, line 14, is we basically codified our understanding and the understanding of the State Board through the rest of the statutes that govern the practices of the State Board, and that they are in charge of developing the uniform standards. And I would like to have a discussion with the body to answer concerns brought as the good gentleman from the western side of the state. But I think it would be best to dispense with this amendment first, and I think that'll assuage some of his concerns, and then I would be happy to discuss the role of the State Board in the way that it adopts standards versus how our local districts develop curriculum.
Representative Winters.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd like to speak on and for this particular amendment. I believe that it really strikes out a lot of the language that is causing concern and actually makes this a much better bill, a simpler bill, to be sure, but also because we don't want to continue with more wording in statute that confuses the situation we're in right now. So on and for this amendment.
Just to clarify, Chairman Teeters and Representative Winters have been speaking on the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Any other discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1? All of those in favor of the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Is there any other discussion on the bill, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that, and I think what we have now is a pretty clean bill that deals with the concern of our constituents and doesn't confuse people. Back to my previous comment about the role of the State Board, if you go back and you read the existing language on page 1 and 2 that deals with the uniform content standards, and there's a lot of confusion among our constituents, I think, about the difference between curriculum and the difference between standards. We have had uniform state standards, and I don't even know when it started. It's been at least 25 or 30 years that I'm aware of, and standards really are the guidelines that determine what the curriculum is going to contain. We allow our local districts local control, and they continue to have the ability to prescribe which curriculum they choose to implement inside those guidelines, which are the standards. So it's our system of local control. I believe all states in this country have state standards. It's just the process. And so if there are further questions on that, I'd be happy to take them. Otherwise, I would call for the question on the bill.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. You know, I don't disagree with the language that's currently being proposed in Senate File 12. I would just suggest that it really doesn't do anything. This bill really does nothing more than exists today. The State Board does not take direction from the federal government, and it's really in my opinion, it's a do-nothing bill, but we can all feel good about it when we vote for it.
Any other discussion on the bill? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the good chairman has already mentioned, we have 25 to 30 years of ceding slowly but surely some of the control of our education to forces outside of the state, and I would like for us to halt that slow but steady trend. And I think that now with the amendment, now as amended, this bill helps us to some degree. And so we must be careful, and I believe that now this bill is just the first step, but it helps exert state control and local control, even further down, local control, district control, back over education.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to gently push back on the previous comment. I do think that you can go back in history and show clear points of time when there have been folks other than ourselves that have committed us to further federal oversight. And that's done through the accepting of grants. That's done through the expansion of federal programs that we have no control over in this body. And so this bill provides a safety net by saying, hey, if you're in these positions and you have the ability to expand programs or develop new programs that are within inside the guidelines of the statute, you need to be aware that the state of Wyoming is not going to tolerate that process to be done if it is going to expand federal oversight and regulation. And so I view this as an important piece of legislation, and I would urge your aye vote.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole arises to report that it do so with the recommendation that Bill number, Senate File number 12 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 12 has passed the Committee of a whole, as a whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 78 from the Education Committee, an act relating to school districts requiring suicide prevention education for teachers and school administrators and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 78, the Jason Flatt Act-2, reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. There were 8 ayes, 1 no vote, signed by Representative Teeter's chairman.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 78 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I turn over both the description of the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment to my good colleague from Down I-80.
Representative Freeman, Standing Committee Amendment.
Thank you. We're on the Standing Committee amendment. What this amendment does is it takes out the word approved. We're going to talk about suicide shortly, and we're going to ask that school districts spend 2 hours a year to talk about suicide prevention and understanding of that. What they'll do, or what the bill will do, is it will require school districts to come up with a suicide prevention program, and what the amendment does is that the director or the superintendent doesn't have to approve that. That's a local concern. This is giving power back to the local school districts, but the district or the superintendent or the director will review and make available. So I ask you to approve the standing committee amendment to restore local control.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The standing committee amendment number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I grew up, you didn't talk about suicide. And because we didn't talk about suicide, we've watched it grow. And what happened, the genesis of this bill started when the Attorney General Office came to the Joint Education Committee and asked that we listen to a foundation who put together an effective suicide prevention program. It's an 8-hour program, and what their hope was is that we would adopt that and have our school districts use 8 hours of their professional development time to go through that curriculum. There was pushback because we felt that the local school board should determine how much time that we should do, and we shouldn't tell them what to do for full day. But the simple fact of the matter is Wyoming has a suicide program, and my county has a large suicide program, and we haven't talked about suicide, and we need to do that. I could tell you about events in my 33 years of teaching, and and hit your emotional cords, but I've chosen not to do that. What the compromise was, and I don't think it was a compromise, is that we want school districts to spend 2 hours with their staff talking about suicide prevention, which would include a list of topics, including recognizing people that are suicidal, developing techniques to pass off students that show signs that they may be suicidal. There's a whole list of things there, and I won't go into them. 2 hours, they could accept the curriculum has already been developed by the Jason Flatt Foundation. Basically what they do is they come, they take that out, that's given to them freely, they can use that. And after 4 years, they would have gone all the way through the curriculum, and then they can start it over again, or they could do something else. This is a balance between a gentle nudge from the legislature and local control. But it's something I think that we should do. I had a school counselor come and tell me that he was pretty shaken that day. He had to counsel a 10-year-old child who was already starting to think about suicide. I wish I would have done that better, but I think that it's something that you have to be aware of constantly, because we all get complacent, and this will require school districts once a year to talk about what we don't talk about.
Representative Escobo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. More of a maybe a statement than a question to the committee, that when they're looking at programs for suicide prevention, I guess I look at suicide prevention as you're driving across a bridge and you see someone standing on the railing, and you get out of your car and you either talk that person down off the railing or you physically pull them off the railing. But intervention is more of doing something in that person's life to cause them to never even think about getting up on that railing in the first place. And hopefully that these programs and these classes are more of along the lines of having an intervening and making people feel that life is a precious, very precious to a person, that they feel better about themselves. So suicide intervention programs, I think, are very effective in doing that. But I read the little pamphlet that the kids from Cody had passed out. It's very touching to see that this is an issue that they would take up and promote for the legislature to move forward. So I'm happy to see that happen. But if you've ever had anybody that you are close to that had done this, it's a very difficult thing to go through.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as I look through the bill on page 2, line 19, and in the second section that's amended, I just had a little bit of a question about the scope of what's proposed, because, you know, I think certainly suicide is a problem in our state, a problem that hasn't received enough attention, a problem we need to dedicate some resources towards. But I fear that with this bill, we sort of, in our urge to do good, we take a step towards the ridiculous. And as I look on, for example, as we're talking about any teacher or school administrator, you know, if there was discussion about kindergarten teachers, first grade teachers, I can imagine the folks that I know in those professions, they probably aren't going to see suicide prevention as entirely relevant to their day-to-day interaction, and probably not think that 2 hours of their professional development is well spent in dealing with problems that really are more likely to be found in other age groups. And I was just wondering if there was a discussion about that, and if there was any you know, if the committee at all heard from any of those sorts of teachers about a need for suicide prevention at those age, those grade levels.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we did take extensive testimony on this program. There are several programs available. We provide for our districts 10 days of paid professional development. So in that 10 days, 2 hours can be done at their own workstation, in their own classroom, online, with materials that are free and provided by different organizations, depending on what the district chooses to use. As far as the concern about the age group, we did have some discussion about that, and the testimony that we received indicated that a lot of these sorts of patterns of behavior begin at a young age, and so it's important to begin to identify those people that may be at risk down into those lower grades. I think it would be a reasonable compromise if the good gentleman from Casper would like to bring an amendment to maybe only require those schools that have middle school and high school students. That could be something that could be talked about as a compromise. But there was some indication that it is valuable in the younger grades as well.
Representative Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess where my concern lies is I know in our county we have organizations there that already do this training in schools. The previous bill was, we talked about getting it out of the state's hands and getting curriculum and standards back in the local control. The amendment we just adopted here was, this is to give more local control to the school districts. But then in the bill, we sit there and require each teacher and school administrator within the district to receive at least 8 hours of suicide prevention education every 4 school years using suitable materials approved, blah, blah, blah. So here we are getting involved in local school districts again. I think if the school districts recognize, the grade levels recognize that they need this kind of training or they see these things happening, what's stopping them now from going to the school grants and getting that authority and getting that training? I would like to see the state get out of this school district, the local control, and give it back to them. Thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a very real and tangible problem in our community. In the last few years, we've lost student body presidents, star athletes, just regular kids, politicians, and recognizing the symptoms and avoiding these types of, these are the most outstanding people in the community, and all of a sudden they're gone. And our community has adopted an effort to educate the entire public. And there are those of us who have participated in public service ads and on recognition of the symptoms and making available confidential treatment. But in our schools, it seems to be a problem. And if you look at the Wyoming statistics, it's growing. I'm not a fan generally of the state dictating to the schools what they should do. But when we have a problem this serious and our kids are dying, and in my community, we're losing way more than we should, and I'm married to the head counselor at the school system, and she has to organize all of those grief counseling sessions, and when it becomes a monthly or every other month occasion in just one school district, that's a severe problem and something that I think that this body's obligated to address. And so I'd urge you to look very seriously at this act and this training. It's not, they have all of the in-service stuff and just training on recognition of the symptoms and the thoughts. And the treatments available is not that intrusive and will save lives. So I'd urge you to consider this act.
Representative Simmers.
Mr. Chairman, I stand on in support of this bill. Last session, I, I missed one day at this session, and it's when I went home to go to one of my best friends' stepchildren's services because they committed suicide, because that individual committed suicide. Teachers are in the best position of anybody in the state to see these tendencies in these children. And we need to be proactive in this state and encourage those and make sure that those teachers get the proper proper training to ensure that we don't continue down this path of seeing the destruction of our school children. It's becoming an epidemic in this nation, in this state, and we really need to address it. And I don't believe that this is too obtrusive. Thank you.
Representative Yeagy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Got an email from a couple of superintendents, and one of their concerns was the time involved, and they understand the problem we're talking about, and they are already doing additional training in this area, and they are a little bit worried if we mandate this, does it place more liability on a teacher if somebody does commit suicide, and so they're a little bit concerned with this. I just wonder if we ought to recognize that. Not that the problem isn't there, but they are, in their opinion, taking care of this in their way, and instead of telling them what to do, maybe having a carrot is the way they put it, to help us, you know, be more involved with it. Thank you.
Representative Mater.
Mr. Chairman, I have had some experience with this. I've had suicides within my own family, and there were no signs years ago before there was the awareness there is today. I have worked with instructing kids over since about 2000, several thousand kids on suicide prevention, and I think there's kind of a false assumption in here that teachers aren't aware or lack the concern about this issue. They do. And they have a lot of things that they're on their agenda, and we're mandating them to do something more than they're doing. And I dare say that we need to be careful about that because we're forcing them. And I'm in favor of helping prevent suicides, and I'm from the county that has a significant problem with it. But at the same time, these folks are aware. These teachers are very aware. And I support letting them decide how and where they want to do it.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a problem in Wyoming, and it's not confined to schools. I would be more amenable to voting aye on this bill if we expanded the education to all community members, pastors, healthcare providers, interested parents. There's a slew of community members that could benefit from this education, and I think it should be made available to the whole community.
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, and I'd like to thank the last representative for her comments because they had a very active suicide prevention campaign in that community that yielded tremendous results. We saw suicide rates in her community get cut in half based on that. So we know these sorts of programs work. I think that if there are friendly amendments that would allow districts to share that information with their surrounding communities, I think that would be a great discussion point and something I could support. The districts are largely in favor of this. They have committed that they do have the through their lobbying organizations, that they do have time for this sort of work and that we all recognize that it is a problem. These sorts of programs have been also successful in other states in statistically reducing suicide. So I'm not a big person to try and put more upon the districts, but we are the appropriators of the funds in this state, and we are responsible for the soundness of our educational system. I think it's well within our guidelines and within our responsibilities to look at these sorts of programs, and I would urge your aye vote.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you. I enjoyed the discussion. Just a couple things that I would like to leave you with. One, I don't think it's intrusive. 2 hours out of 80 hours that this body funds for, I don't think is intrusive. I don't think it increases the liability. Otherwise, there'd be nobody that would want to be a psychiatrist or any of those kind of professions. Prevention is always better, to be proactive, and this is what this bill tries to do. The other thing is the people who are often there to pick up the pieces are pastors, are mental health people, but a lot of people don't realize how often teachers are the ones that have to pick up the pieces, because those children come in when somebody in their family picks it up. The more that we can train these professionals to do the best that they can, I think that we owe it to them. I would hope that this becomes a community initiative. I hope that pastors and other people become involved, and that we are able as a community to fight this terrible phenomenon.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on and in favor of this bill. I know as a parent, you can't be everywhere all the time, and you don't always see what goes on in your child's life. And I would love to have extra eyes watching and seeing the things that I'm not seeing. And I think that when our kids come home, we see the home kid. When they go to school, there's the school kid. I think that we have a lot of different social settings that our kids behave differently in. But I'd like to see assistance. I would have loved to have had assistance, because we experienced this in our family. Luckily, we caught her in time. But I'll tell you what, I would have and did beg thereafter for people to be trained so that we could keep it from happening again. It's a phrase I hate to use, but it does take us all to raise the children. And I know that I appreciated my friends. I appreciated so many people in our community that after the tragedy, they did keep a better eye on. In fact, our community did do some things that were incredible. We created a task force, a group of people that were willing to volunteer time for when people were hospitalized, that could have turned into, and sometimes does turn into, Title 25. But they go and just sit with people, and they don't really have to say a lot, but they just be there knowing that somebody cares. Some of the workplaces have had safety trainings, knowing that some people who commit suicide take others with them on the job site. And so there, I don't think that we can say enough about prevention. And I think that it takes us all to recognize those symptoms of depression and those symptoms that you don't see in every social setting. And so I would urge you to pass this bill. I would urge you to support the good representative who spoke about she could support this more if it included the whole community. It does take us all. And I think that having one of the highest suicide rates in the nation would indicate that we need to do something. And I'd rather do something than nothing. And I can tell you that that when you're involved with it, the pain that goes with that lasts for years. And so I would like to urge you to please, let's all work together to help solve this problem. It is pervasive. It's throughout the whole state. Thank you.
Are there any other discussion on the bill? Is there any other discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Conley's motion that when the committee of the whole arise to report that it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 78 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate file 78 has passed the committee as a whole, of a whole. Our next bill for consideration is Senate file 79. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 79 from the Education Accountability Committee, an act relating to education requiring a data security plan for education data, accordingly imposing duties, requiring reporting, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate file 79, Education Student Data Security 2, reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 79 do pass, and there are no standing committee amendments. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate File 79 was an attempt on the part of the Select Committee on Accountability to deal with some of the concerns surrounding the enterprise technology services and the way we collect and store data. And so the intention was of the bill to require that the director of the Department of ETS, in combination with the director of the Department of Education, adopt a security plan that has specific guidelines for who's going to be able to access data, how that data is going to be protected, how we're going to deal with a breach in security, and then they're going to report back to the Select Committee on Accountability with what that looks like. I think it's always good to have those folks that are in charge of protecting and storing our student data to continue to look at that. I know there's a Committee of the Whole amendment that's going to be coming up in a minute that's going to deal with analyzing the inventory of what information is collected to verify that we're collecting only what we need to collect, and I appreciate and support that amendment as well. And so at this time, I would yield the floor to the sponsors of the Committee of the Whole amendment.
We're on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is just kind of a companion piece. I think the bill is a good bill. We're going to analyze, basically it's a data security bill. How secure is the data? One thing I think we need to have a clear understanding is what kind of material are we asking for? What's required? Who's requiring it? And then is there any efficiencies in the system? And I think most of this work from talking to staff has already been done. I just think if it's compiled with this report, then legislators have a clear understanding of the entire subject. One thing I get asked occasionally from concerned parents about this data is, well, why does this data need to be collected? And in all honesty, I can't always answer that. And so I think if we get all this information in one pop, then we can better answer the questions of our constituents and have a better understanding of how to do data security. So thank you. I'd stand for questions.
Question being called. All those in favor of the committee of the whole amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment has been adopted. We're on committee of the whole amendment number 2. Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move committee of the whole number 2 and ask for your favorable consideration. This also is putting some more sideboards on the information that's collected. In particular, the personally identifiable student information that's reported to the Department of Education or the Department of Enterprise Technology should be reported as just using the WISER number, and that's that number that the department has that was assigned to every student as they walk into school. So I'd just like to be able to use the one WISER number to report that information to the departments. Thank you. Stand for questions.
Question being called. All those in favor of the committee of the whole amendment number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The amendment is passed. We're back on the bill. Is there any other discussion on the bill, or are you ready for the question? Oh, hey there, Mr. Harshman, Representative Harshman.
Just hiding behind that computer screen on your desk. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I just want to take this opportunity to talk about education accountability. You know, folks, I think some people think that we're trying to put on another state burden on our districts in addition to No Child Left Behind, which I think we're all have heard of and are familiar with the federal burden. But what's happened with our director and really under the direction of this committee and the accountability committee and the legislature, we have applied for a waiver. Our state accountability system that we've worked so hard for will replace No Child Left Behind. So there will not be two sets of accountability things out there hanging over our districts. We want to get rid of the federal system, which is kind of this one-size-fits-all. And as you know, in Wyoming, we have so many small schools, so many small communities, and then we have some very large urban schools. And to try to come together with what really makes sense in Wyoming and what we want to emphasize, and for example, at the high school level, we know that ninth grade credit accumulation is so important to graduation. Well, that's one of the accountability measures, you know, in addition to the ACT suite of tests that we administer. And so we've done a lot of good work on this. So when you go back, I think there's some confusion. Folks think we've added to the burden. We're pulling No Child Left Behind out of this state. And I think that's going to be a key thing. The first rollout of the scores came out this past year. And I tell you, I've heard nothing but good from how it was done and how folks agreed with the rankings and how the whole thing was determined. And so I think we're really on the verge of doing some good stuff with this and really taking a good look at our schools in a Wyoming common sense way. So that's just my two cents on the whole accountability effort. I'm for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All of those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole arise to report that it do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 79 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate file 79 has passed the Committee as a whole. Mr. Floor Majority Floor Leader, Majority Floor Leader, could you...
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38. Senate File 38 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to hunting, providing exceptions to hunter safety course requirements, providing for multiple spatial authorizations, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 38, Hunter Safety Exceptions, reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Representative Davis and Sherman. Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 38 do pass. And this bill is just changing or making some exemptions to the hunter safety course and making that there will be a hunter safety course available, but making an exception for immediate family members to go with a mentor on private property.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Folks, this bill regarding hunter safety kind of needs to be split into two phases, and I'll try and explain. I will explain those to you here as I describe the bill. For those of us like the good chairman of Minerals and I who were born after 1966, we are required to take a hunter safety course. Those of you born prior to 1966 who use spears and rocks are grandfathered into being able to use firearms without a hunter safety course. Those of us who are born after 1966 can take wildlife by the use of firearms on land other than are required to do that unless a person possesses or can demonstrate that they have obtained a certificate of competency and safety in the use and handling of a firearm or the hunter safety certificate. Now, a person who has not received a certificate of competency and safety in the use of handling of firearms as provided may apply to the Department of Fish and Game for a special authorization to take wildlife while being accompanied by a person acting as a mentor who possesses or can demonstrate that he or she has obtained a certificate of competency and safety in the use of handling of firearms and who possesses a valid Wyoming hunting license. Now, in this bill, as our current statute is, a mentor shall not provide supervision for more than one person. And in this bill, we're going to change that so that the mentor shall not provide supervision for more than one person other than immediate family members. So if my wife was with me and one of my daughters, I could accompany more than two as a mentor. The second part of this is that the special authorization granted to these people who don't have a hunter safety certificate it currently says that no person may apply for more than one special authorization. And this bill, we would change that to say that the special authorization should be valid for more than 1 year. So, for example, if my wife, who doesn't have a hunter safety certificate and decides that she will go hunting with me and gets this special authorization, and at the conclusion of that hunting season decides I'm just a cold-hearted beast and doesn't want anything to do with the sport again, but then 2 years later her pulse has slowed down and she's decided that maybe she'd like to try that again, would have an opportunity to get that special authorization again prior to taking a hunter safety course. So that's those two parts of the bill. The last part of the bill are the requirements for taking hunter safety. And what we would like to do in this bill is say that any active member, honorably discharged past member, or veteran of the Armed Forces of the United States would not have to have a hunter safety course, and any active or retired peace officer who is qualified pursuant to the post standards would also not have to have a hunter safety course. And so with that said, I would urge the adoption and passing of this bill.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to speak on the mentorship part, although after hearing it, the thought of a family with, say, four unattended, uncertified teenagers wandering the hills around my camp isn't very encouraging. But I was going to speak on the second part. And my family is full of veterans and peace officers, so I always appreciate efforts to recognize their services, but I think I might be one of those sage grouches that we heard about yesterday. And I just want to have a question about this. I have been through the hunter safety class three times. Once for myself, even though I am actually too old to have to go through it, and also then with both of my kids. And I would think you are all so young, you've all surely been through that class too. But the classes that we went through, out of 2 weeks, there was really only like 1 hour that dealt with firearms handling. And the rest was animal identification and regulations and how not to slice your femoral artery while gutting the animal, and then scary movies about hypothermia. So my question is, if the veteran or peace officer is born after 1966 and hunted, you know, before they enlisted or whatever, they've already been through the hunter safety class, and this won't help them. And then if a veteran moves here from some remote place in the East Coast filled with buildings and they've always wanted to hunt, how do we know that without this class they can actually tell the difference between a partridge and a sage grouse, or, say, a cow, elk, and a moose, which I hear is a common mistake? So I'm a little concerned that we may be setting these folks up for unintended consequences of letting them go out without prepared on the animal identification, and they can end up making some mistake that would be really costly to them. The firearms portion is very small. I mean, when my daughter was in there at 12 years old, you know, they give you a sort of a fake unloaded shotgun and have you pretend you're climbing over a fence, and that's it. So I'm not really sure how many people this would benefit, even though I think the idea is great. I mean, maybe instead we could come with a whatever next reading we're on, amendment, and offer them the class for free or something. I mean, that would be really nice. But those are my thoughts on this. Thank you.
Representative Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I am also of an age where I was obligated to take this training. I also participate as a trainer in this program through the Wyoming Game and Fish Department, or that department that would be responsible for that in this state. And I would concur with 95% of what the good speaker before me said, and actually say that the purpose of the hunter safety course in Wyoming is not about how to handle firearms. It is about the conservation, preservation, and protection of Wyoming's wildlife and how we are better informed to participate in that. So I appreciate 100% recognizing veterans and recognizing peace officers for their service, but I am concerned that I think what this applies to, one, is a very small number of people who may move here and decide they want to hunt, and two, that we're leaving out the big part of what hunter education is in this state and why it's so valuable and why it was implemented so many years ago. So I am certainly understand the first part of this bill, but on second reading, I think this should be addressed in a different way for the new subsection D. Thank you, Mr.
Representative Larson, and I'm wondering if we could lighten up a little bit on when people were born.
Accept my humble apologies, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Folks, I think that the questions that were posed by the two good representatives who are active in the field and in teaching are valid comments, and in visiting with the author of this bill and representatives of the Fish and Game Department, they recognize that those very same issues and will deal with that. So with a person who is going in to verify that he's a veteran or that he's been post-trained, the Fish and Game folks are going to resolve the issues that you talked about in their rules so that everybody will learn how to cross a fence with a firearm and how to properly tag the kill that they take and in the laws regarding other such field activities that come with hunting. And so they felt very comfortable with the bill and felt that they could address this very concern through their rules and regulations.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Just to pick up on that, if you look at the bottom of page 2, it says the commission shall promulgate rules and regulations to carry out the purposes of this subsection. And so as we talked about that, we were talking about the hunter safety booklets and materials. So as they come up with this, just what the good sponsor is bringing up, they were going to try to address this with their rules, and when somebody comes to get one of these, they would have that opportunity. So that was considered in this bill. Thank you.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I guess a question pertaining to that is, if we recognize that that law enforcement and members of the military are trained in weaponry, but still talking about wildlife identification and so on and so forth, how are these proposed rules and regulations, is there any direction that those are going as far as training them in that area? Because it sounds, I mean, maybe I'm hearing this wrong, but it sounds to me like we're creating a sort of an abbreviated second course for these people to, where they don't have to deal with certain parts of that, and that's fine, but they still have to take some sort of training to address animal identification and so on and so forth.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In my conversations with the Fish and Game representatives, they didn't have anything chiseled in stone as to how they wanted to do that, but either through a booklet that they would require the individual to read prior to getting it, or the use of a computer to take an online presentation regarding those issues. That hasn't been firm, but they felt very comfortable and thought that the availability of technology and resources to do that were certainly there.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'd like to point out, I appreciate the rules and regulations, but I think that is actually applicable only to subsection C. And what we're talking about, this new language, is a new subsection, D. So I appreciate the folks that are saying we can deal with this, but if we're going to deal with it, let's deal with it in a subsection that's actually applicable to the new subsection. So I just throw that out there. I'd certainly ask for the bringer of the bill to respond to that if he has any thoughts. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you. I, if the good representative would like to bring an amendment that he felt would address that, I would certainly be amenable to that.
Representative Gurr.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, thank you. I'd hate to see that amendment. I have a vague recollection of being trained on numerous things in the military, and dealing with hypothermia is one of those, and first aid, and handling firearms, and it's been a while, but I recall showing up being relatively proficient with firearms and a whole lot of other people who were not. And yet the military has this wonderful way of training people from all over and bring them together to a common purpose. And I felt comfortable with that training. I'm comfortable enough that, thank goodness, I didn't have to, but I still trust my life to those people. And what we're trying to do here is just recognize the fact that these people that have gone through this training are competent enough to handle the firearms. They've also, keep in mind, they've received a tremendous amount of training in first aid, hypothermia, and all of that that goes along with it. And I'll just make this comment as far as game identification. If you don't know what you're hunting, I just don't know what to tell you. In a video, in a book, looking at that isn't going to change that. With respect to the component of this for the military, I just don't see anything wrong with recognizing the training of those folks and allowing them to come in and be able to hunt in this state. That's all. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Chairman Davison's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 38 do pass, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 38 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next file for our consideration is Senate File 46.
Senate File 46 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks, providing for agreements between the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources and operators of remote electronic terminals for the collection of donations, providing restrictions and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 46, State Parks-ATM Donations, reports back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. There were 9 ayes, 0 noes, signed by Kathy Davidson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Davidson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 46 do pass, and I'll turn the explanation of that bill over to my good friend from House District 25.
Good morning, members. This bill has appeared in the House before, and now it has been resurrected and corrected. It is a voluntary action by the owner of the ATM to provide this option for users of the ATM. So I think it answers all of those questions about mandating a system for ATM owners. So I would move that we accept the bill and move it on. Is that the correct wording?
Any other discussion? Chairman.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. From Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have a little concern, and I'm wondering as if we approach an ATM machine, how many defaults will we have? Will we have one that says that we can donate to the state bark beetle problem and then follow up with one of purchasing a state lottery ticket or another one that would allow you to buy a square foot of a highway or to donate to your local animal shelter? So my question is, does this open the door to have to punch yes or no to like seven or eight of those things before you actually pull your money out?
I would answer that by
Representative Blevins
by saying that it is a voluntary action by the owner of the ATM, and the we've addressed this question before with the license plate issue, and of course that's a decision by our body, but for this I think it is really a decision by the ATM owner to limit what is put on that system. So I think that has been addressed, and we can pass this bill with the knowing that it's not being mandated, and I think that's an important part of the bill.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to add that without this bill, the Parks and Recreation don't have the authority to meet with these people and negotiate. This gives them that opportunity to meet with these different ATM owners to implement this, and it's a way of they're trying to do to raise more money for their programs. Thank you.
Yes, I meant to say that.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 60% of the ATM machines are not owned by banks. Whether or not there will be multiple screens will be left up to the negotiations between the Parks Department and the owner of the ATM. The ATM owner could say, I'd like 20 screens on there, and you'll be one of them, and Parks can back out and say, no, we don't want to participate with your ATM machine. So that's all in the negotiation. This money will go to operations and maintenance of the parks. It's the one aspect of their budget that is so subject to inflation that it's hard to keep up with. This the funds generated through voluntary donations will be used for this purpose. Wyoming is the only state that's even thinking about doing this. Let's get Wyoming on the leading edge for once. See how it goes. Thanks.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just a little bit concerned that this might be a de facto bargaining chip, that it seems to be voluntary, but this Park Service might just choose to only go with those providers that are willing to have this fee. So I don't know, is that something that's been discussed in committee?
Chairman Teeters.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I rise on and against this bill, and I've opposed this concept before. I think the state parks have spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to raise additional revenue, and this seems to be the best idea they can come forward with. I think it could open up a Pandora's box. You could have agencies, state agencies all across the state of Wyoming, agreeing to these sorts of terms in the future. Where is it going to end? I don't think that this is a good solution for trying to figure out a way to raise more revenue.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, I rise against this bill as well. I have three concerns. Those that were expressed about opening up Pandora's box and the numerous screens and everybody wanting to jump on this bandwagon, I agree with all those comments, and they're very legitimate comments. The second one was already raised and something to think about, but a lot of these remote ATMs are owned by individuals, and this is going to affect their bottom line, especially where we've got a limit on here of 10%. Someone's doing a dollar donation, 10 cents for the added cost of doing that, maybe a disincentive to allow those remote those ATMs to go into remote locations. Those of you with a bit of a memory will know I had championed keeping those fees in a range to be able to allow remote ATMs to continue within the state. The third concern with this, and it's just a consumer protection issue. We have clearly in law right now the screen that has to come up with the disclaimers and the fees that are on there. And I've seen, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, but people of your age have difficulty with technology. And I am just a little bit concerned if we have to start pushing through those buttons in hitting the wrong one, and what protections are in place concerning this. So I just have a problem with this overall concept, and I think we should defeat this, and there's got to be a better way to help our state parks than this.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess this is just an avenue for them to do that. The ATM owners they don't have to do it. If they choose to do it, then they can do this. And I think it's voluntary on the people that go there. And I would urge you to support this to give them that opportunity. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand the technology part, since I can't get my computer to work this morning. But I don't think that any owner of an ATM is going to clutter up his ATM to where that he can't get it to function. I think you have to trust the system of what's going on. I think the other thing that you should realize is no government has done this before, but other institutions have. This Christmas when I was shopping, I went to a place that had a giant K on the front of it, and they asked me if I wanted to donate to a hospital founded by a comedian. And I was more than willing, being in the Christmas mood, to do that. The state parks are in need of money, and they are one of the agencies that do not come back time after time after time. They have tried to be creative to find other sources of income. They don't know this is going to work, but what happens is the charity founded by the comedian can go out and negotiate to try to be innovative. The State Parks Division can't without this bill. The market's going to take care of the multiple screens. All they want is the ability to go out and be on a level playing field with other organizations that need this kind of help.
Representative Blevins.
Yep. Representative Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my inquiry for the presenter of the bill is, are there these type of devices on state parks grounds now? And if there are, how would that influence the contract or the vendor contract? Would this legislation influence the vendor contract that those folks would have to utilize to be on those properties? Thank you.
Representative Blevins.
Mr. Speaker, no, there are not ATMs on the state park facilities.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Davison's motion that when the committee of the bill of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 46 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Chairs in doubt, those in favor, please stand.
Do committee announcements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those opposed, please stand. Pursuant to House H.R. 66B, the bill having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart. Burkhart?
Excused.
Burkhart excused. Bird.
No.
Campbell. Kennedy,
no.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery, Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
no.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
Mader,
no.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Gingery excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 31 aye, 27 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 46 has passed the Committee of the Whole. We'd like to have committee announcements. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Corporations Committee Number 7 will meet 5 minutes upon noon recess in about 10 minutes to discuss three bills, Senate File 21, Insurance Own Risk Solvency Model Act, Senate File 57, Reduction of Boards and Commissions, and Senate File 74, Unemployment Insurance Coverage Fiduciaries.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow, 10 minutes after adjournment, in room H17, where we'll hear Senate File 89, Health Professionals, Medicaid Billing, and any other bills that are read in for us.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9 will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 in room H18 to consider Senate File 83, Oil and Gas Options Bonding Requirement, and Senate File 53, Unfair Trade Practices.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, February 26th at 8 a.m. in room H11 to hear Senate File 93, Engrossed, Agricultural Gas Tax Refund, and Senate File 87, Engrossed, Public Records Preservation.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in H17 to hear two bills, Senate File 58, Engrossed, National Guard Service, Governor's Authority, and Senate File 59, Engrossed, Specific Service Signage on Highways.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 12, Rules, will meet today, February 25th, 2014, upon adjournment in room 302. To take up the following bills, Administrative Rules Streamlining, Senate File 67, Senate File 68, Obsolete Laws, and a forklift load of proposed rule changes.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, figure this afternoon General File will probably end at 3 o'clock because we have a Rules Committee hearing and people have things this evening they want to get to. Mr. Chairman, I move we stand in recess until 2 o'clock p.m.
Thank you. With that, prior to recess, if the good representative of Washakie County would help the chairman down the stairs, it would be greatly appreciated. Those in favor of recessing till 2 o'clock, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?